There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. By the way, you heard the news story WKRG is reporting on about those children that had a project today at school. I think it was over the Florida Panhandle to dress up for school, and they overheated. What did they dress up as? It's like, were they, I mean, obviously something that was hot, because it's hot out there. It's nice and dry, but still sun-wise hot out there. I don't know what they dressed up as. I am very proud, for so many reasons, of my children. But my son had decided, because he thinks Costa Rica as a country is pretty cool, so does his dad. We had a lot of fun there. He decided for his school project where they were dressing up, he was going to dress up for Costa Rica today. And he goes with the fedora and the nice white shirt with the red sash there and just some regular jeans and stuff. I mean, it kind of looks like if you see, you know, in the Olympics when the countries walk out and athletes are all walking around in some clothing or something that's emblematic of their country. Well, he's kind of got that. It's a little bit of Panama Jack. It's a pretty good look. Pretty good look. And he was comfortable today. I'm going to dress up like I'm from Greenland or something like that. Probably. Nah, it's good. Good. Smart kid. Dressed up like Costa Rican. Dad may have to borrow that hat when he gets home. All right. To the phones at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also got some text to read through here as well. And bouncing a couple things around from last hour, continuing our discussion of the abortion bill. And then just the, not just merits pro or con of the abortion bill, but some of the PR of this. And I got to agree with Jeff Poore. And it's not the first, and I agree with Adam from last hour. Our state legislature does not do the best job, and maybe no state legislature does, but we do not do the best job of messaging on something. It doesn't mean you change what you believe, but you cannot be naive enough. You cannot be ignorant enough to not think that this law would be picked up by every national source and it become the big discussion of the last couple of days. So you should have the messaging ready. Don't change your opinion on it, but come out and talk about why this is. Explain yourself so somebody else can't frame the debate for you. Then if they disagree with it, cool, that's fine. That's what this republic's all about. But don't let somebody else message for you. All right, Adman, first up in Irvington. Hey, Adman.
How are you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Fine. Look, the argument is, you're deciding on a individual, a human being, whether however it was conceived is good. But one thing that I have not heard brought out, if you leave rape and incest in it, then if you've got a 15-year-old daughter that's pregnant, you say, well, she was raped. Is anybody going to investigate and make sure she was raped? If incest, are you going to do DNA testing on the fetus?
Yeah.
These are just they're just exceptions. They just what am I talking about? Scapegoats. They can get out of the legal abortion and they can do abortions if they claim that it was incest or rape.
And if you don't, that's the thing about messaging. If somebody doesn't think through and think about the logic of this, those are easy things to demagogue. Because if you leave that in, then you must be for rape. You must be for incest.
Yeah. But those are just exceptions that get, really void the whole idea of outlawing abortions. And I'll be straightforward. I'm not so sure that I've seen a lot of young girls, very young girls, that have had abortions that probably saved their lives. And it's a terrible mm-hmm. thing. And the way I look at it is, if a woman is able to make that decision and make it right with herself and her God, you know, who am I to step in and tell her differently? But be that as it may, you're still taking a life. And if you make an exception for rape or incest, you're saying, well, we've got this loophole that, you know, if you really want an abortion, just tell them you were raped. Just like these people coming across the border, I have credible fear of my life for my country. It's just a loophole that they go through.
Yeah, and that, man, I appreciate it. I didn't think about the loophole angle, but I did, you know, that puts another part of this discussion. But to me, it was more like the, once again, this is not even in the, I think somebody who's even pro-choice can understand why they made the law like they did here. Because they're trying to, because in that, if you're going to decide you are pro-life, but then you say in the case of rape or incest, then you can have the abortion, that flies in the face of logic. It's tough. It's horrible. I don't want to have this discussion. I want to talk about fiscal policy, right? That's what I'm into. But I don't get to make that choice. This is what drives this discussion. So if you're going to talk logic, then the logic would tell you what keeping out those exceptions is logical. You may disagree with the whole premise, but if you're making the argument of a personhood law, you don't decide on whether somebody's a person because of how they were conceived. It's illogical. All right, phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. Let's check in with Pelican in beautiful Magnolia Springs. Hey, Pelican.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Afternoon.
First of all, I'd like to thank you for providing a platform for people to discuss issues like this or any other issues where our representatives can hear the people themselves actually talking about it.
Thank you, man.
I think that's great.
Thank you.
I'm in on this rape and incest thing. I am definitely pro-life. I'm full-time pro-life. But if a girl is just entered puberty, she's 11 or 12 years old, and she gets raped, mm-hmm. I don't believe a child should be forced to bear a child.
It's horrible. I believe you. I'm ready to take the arrows on this because the emotional arguments you can make.
You know.
You make a vet. Listen, in the emotional argument arena, all of y'all can win against this argument. But if I'm saying that we're making the decision now, if they could show that gosh, I hate discussing all this stuff. Makes me feel icky. But if they showed that carrying that child would kill the other the mother, which is a child, but carrying that baby would kill the mother or do then you have an argument. You're gauging this, you know, one life to another, and that's a different argument.
And,
but if
and,
they said
to me, it's just forcing a 11 or 12 year old girl to go through the trauma of childbirth.
It's horrible. I'm with you, Pelican. Yeah. But if you want to say, if you like the bill that was passed, signed off by the governor, says. And I got to get the exact date, but at this point, this far into the term, they are a person. They have personhood. Then how can you judge the value of that personhood because of how they were conceived?
It's a tough decision.
It's
really
horrible.
It really is. But I've seen a woman in childbirth and a grown woman. It's terrible on them, you know?
Yeah, I've seen it.
My daddy used to say it's like a man crapping a rocking chair, you know?
Pelican, killing me, man. Seen it live in action a couple times, and I'm still standing. Although people doubted I would be able to stand through the whole process, but I did because I said, you know what, I wasn't doing the hard work. I was there just to obviously annoy my wife, really, is what I think I was there for. All right, 1:15, coming right back. We'll grab some more phone calls. 343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 120 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you here. And tonight, looking for a great event, another one at Cottage Hill Package. Tonight, this is cool because you got locally owned store with Cottage Hill Package Store. You also have a Alabama brewery coming out. This happens actually more often than not with the explosion of craft breweries, even here in Alabama. And Red Clay Brewing out of Opelika is going to be featured tonight from 6 to 8. These events are free in the back lounge at Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. And you just go in, you can sample. They have, I think, 3 beers for us to sample tonight. The 53 Kolsch, their halftime Hefeweizen, and their IPA. You sample the beer, and then you decide, you know, if that's, it's like little sample cups. You like that beer, then you buy a 6-pack, right? Because, I mean, there are so many craft beers, which is cool, but it's also daunting when you go into a place like Cottage Hill Package because they got the huge selection. You're like, which one do I pick? Well, you go to these events, these free tasting events. You get to hang out with like-minded folks, talk about some craft beer, often get some cool swag like hats and stickers, huggers, those kind of cool things, and then see if that that new offering from an individual brewery is something that you just got to have. Then you pick up a 6-pack. Hey, and if craft beer is not your thing, I feel sorry for you. But if it's not your thing, great wine selection, huge selection of spirits. Also, cigar fans, they have a giant humidor as well. And the people to give you advice on what cigar, if you're like me, I'm not a cigar smoker, but I buy them for gifts for folks. They can guide me through there every time, make sure I get the cigar, gets that kind of, oh, wow, you found one of these. That's the kind of humidor they have. Check them out, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. But also, make sure to like them on Facebook, Cottage Hill Package. You'll get updates on all their events, and you can check out more information as well online at cottagehillpackage.com. All right, coming to the phones, but I do want to get an update here. This is a wreck westbound. Okay, so westbound on the Bayway, and I don't know how far on the Bayway. Westbound on the Bayway. And that wreck has traffic backed up as far as Daphne there. So that's current. We'll look for more information from the traffic department there. But thank you. My friend sent me that text there. Wreck westbound backed up on the Bayway, backed up to Daphne. And as we get more details or you can pass along, you can do that on the text line or you just give us a call here in the studio, 343-0106. Mike in Mobile is up next. Hey, Mike.
Hello. Hello. Disguising my voice, I'm not trying to be funny. So,
okay.
What I'm about to tell you is certainly not funny. My wife was 18 years old and moved from Mobile to Birmingham, and she was not raped to the point that she was viciously attacked, but it was an older person who took advantage of her, and she got pregnant in the process. She went to a doctor who told her, this is nothing but tissue, it's not a baby. And they did an abortion. The unfortunate part is whatever they did caused it to where she could never have children again. She still has nightmares and is traumatized by that event. And she's 70 years old. She cries often when she knows that she took the life of an innocent child. So even in those cases, it does cause many repercussions, not only to the baby that is killed, but to the lady who later realizes what she has done. And we have adopted a child late in our life, and she is a little girl. It's hard for me to talk about this, I'm sorry.
And I understand.
She says she thinks that God gave her another chance through this little girl to get to be a mama and to make up for what she did.
A beautiful sentiment.
This is an emotional bill going through, but that is just one story.
Mike, hey, Mike, thank you, and thank you for the bravery of passing along that story. It's compelling, to say the least, and we appreciate that. You know, there's so many individual stories, and it's tough. It's just like, believe me, I knew when I started saying this the other day. Once again, this is not even, I'm actually talking about it specific to those that support Alabama's bill. And that the, you know, people say, I can't believe they took out the exception for rape or incest. And I said, this doesn't mean emotionally. This means logically. Emotionally, I get it. I completely get it. But logically, if you're going to make this personhood argument that Representative Terry Collins' bill makes, logically, you have to leave those in. as distasteful as it is, and I get it, but if you're, because I mean, and then listen, I've already seen it online. People are like, oh, you must like, you're supporting rape. Yeah, sure, sure. That's great, great. That means I've, no. It means I'm saying if Alabama's bill is to be logical and be this vessel they think it is, which a lot of people don't think this will be the bill that goes in front of SCOTUS, but if they believe this will be the bill that does, you have to have logic to it. And you can, if they're a person at the certain date, that doesn't matter. Believe me, it'd be a lot easier to just say, oh, it's okay. No, but logically, you have to leave that in. Now, that didn't mean emotionally, but logically. All right, let's go to, well, we've got, is this a phone scam update? Because, by the way, I need some help there. My phone rings about 86 times a day here over the last week for phone numbers that I don't know the people. Thomas is in Irvington, wants to talk about phone scams. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, how you doing this afternoon, Sean?
Doing good. So what phone scam's going on? What's happening?
Last week, I got a phone call from supposedly the Mobile County Sheriff's Department saying that my DNA sample was no good.
Wait a second.
I needed to come down and bring them $2,000 in either a Google Pay card or an Apple Pay card.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Bring it to the sheriff's department and enter the information in the kiosk.
Yeah. At what point did you go, yeah, this is a scam?
When he said Google gift card. but I did make sure I called my lawyer.
Yeah.
And my lawyer said, because this man gave me his number to call back.
It doesn't mean anything.
Extension number. And my lawyer said, call him back and tell him we'll be down there first thing in the morning with the money
right.
that we want to see him. And he hung up in my face.
There you go. Well, good. At least you gave him a little bit of trouble. But, you know, you're doing the best thing. And the best thing is what you're doing is telling other people so they don't, you know, they can spread the word. Nobody falls for that. So that's appreciated.
Exactly. And it's a local telephone number. At least it showed up
on
my phone.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything anymore. That means nothing.
And when I called it back, they even went, Mobile County Sheriff's Department.
Sure. Sure. They're trained up like that.
Right. So, you know, and I called the Sheriff's Department, and of course they said there's really nothing they can do about it because most of the numbers are from overseas anyway.
Yep.
So just.
Yeah.
Know all these scams. And I did talk to somebody today from a bail bonds company that said, their name has been put out in a scam that somebody is calling people saying your brother, your mother, your sister, your cousin, your uncle's locked up. We need money from you.
Well, I tell you what, when we come back from the break, I will tell the story that hit very close to home with some of my relatives of a situation just like that, something to watch out for. By the way, too, in reference to, and appreciate your call and the heads up on that, Thomas, but in reference to the telephone numbers, we've talked about it a bunch. It doesn't mean just because it says 251-205-334, even a prefix next year. I mean, we have people that have gotten calls from their own phone number, okay? It doesn't mean anything. They're masking the phones. It's the number that shows up on your ID means nothing. It's a mask out there. I had put it out on Twitter, I think, yesterday. So FCC Chairman Ajit Pai is talking about what the FCC is trying to do to remove that masking. Now, the harder time, because people often say, well, they need to put more laws in to keep these scam calls from coming through. Well, the scammers are criminal by nature. They don't care if there's a law that says you're not allowed to try to call and scam people. They're not going to go, oh, okay, I guess I'm not allowed to call and scam people now. They're still going to do it. But what they're, so this is actually pretty well thought out. FCC going to push those providers, your cell providers, to not allow the masking. Now, I don't know technologically how that's done. I would figure the masking would come into the cell service, the number would already be masked. But somehow they have some way to unmask these phone numbers. And so at least a little bit of benefit is if this goes through and moves forward. And I'll watch this and maybe we'll get somebody from the FCC on to talk about it, that they're going to remove that ability to mask. That make your life a little bit easier. Still probably won't. It'll just be instead of 86 calls from 251 I get every day, it'll be 86 calls from wherever. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, running to President Trump here in just a second, unveiling the new immigration plan. I'll take a quick call from Cheyenne and then to the president. Yes, Cheyenne, you're on.
Hey, Sean, good evening. Hey, I wanted to bring up a topic about the abortion. I'm pro-life myself, but one thing I'm failing to hear from the pro-choice people is, how are we getting to this point? Where's the responsibility coming in? Where's people taking responsibility for their own actions? There's too many things out there, protection-wise, for men and women, you know, to keep you from getting to the point where you would need an abortion in the first place. So why are they not pointing toward accountability? I mean, there's other things on the market, like if just in case of rape or whatever, the morning after,
right?
You know, I think it's somewhere in the 80 or 90% effectiveness, somewhere around in there. I mean, nobody's bringing up these topics. It's like, this is right or this is wrong, and nobody's bringing up a solution. And I think people ought to sit back and look at, hey, there's a lot of responsibility other than rape or incest. A lot of it is just a lack of responsibility, being a responsible adult. And, I mean, there's too many things in the market to keep us from even getting to this point.
Okay.
And I've not heard anybody bring that topic up, whether it's a politician or somebody against it or for it or whatever. Nobody seems to be bringing that topic up, and I think that should be the main focal point, is how do we eliminate the need altogether?
There you go, Cheyenne. Well, you got that ball in play. And once again, the reason we don't do this a lot on the show is this argument is people are galvanized here on either side of it. You really don't go many new places. But you bring up interesting points. But my focus has been specifically kind of on the messaging here from the Alabama legislature, those who back this. And kind of if you make a logical argument, once again, I think you have to agree. You can be pro-choice as the day is long. But if you wanted to bring a bill, a personhood bill, and make this argument, you can't have those exceptions in there because it's illogical. All right, let's go. Can we get the president speaking now on the immigration plan, new immigration law? President Trump speaking right now, looks like in the Rose Garden.
Our proposal is pro-American, pro-immigrant, and pro-worker. It's just common sense. It will help all of our people, including millions of devoted immigrants, to achieve the American dream. We are grateful to be joined this afternoon by a tremendous number of people from the House, the Senate, and my cabinet. And I love you all, but I won't introduce you all because I'll be here all day long, but you're all here. Our plan achieves two critical goals. First, it stops illegal immigration and fully secures the border. And second, it establishes a new legal immigration system that protects American wages, promotes American values, and attracts the best and brightest from all around the world. The proposal begins with the most complete and effective border security package ever assembled by our country or any other country for that matter. So important. This plan was not developed, I'm sorry to say, by politicians. We have a lot of politicians. But you respect the people and you know the people that have developed this plan. It was designed with significant input from our great law enforcement professionals to detail what they need to make our border, which is 100% operationally secure, 100%. Everyone agrees that the physical infrastructure on the border and the ports of entry is gravely underfunded and woefully inadequate. We scan only a small fraction of the vehicles, goods, and all of the other things coming across, including people. And sadly, the drugs pour across our border. We're going to stop it. Investment in technology will ensure we scan 100% of everything coming through, curbing the flow of drugs and contraband while speeding up legal trade and commerce. It's the most heavily traded monetarily border anywhere in the world, and it's not even close. To make certain that we are constantly making the upgrades we need, our proposal creates a permanent and self-sustaining border security trust fund. This will be financed by the fees and revenues generated at the border crossings itself. Importantly, we're already building the wall, and we should have close to 400 miles built by the end of next year, and probably even more than that. It's going up very rapidly. And I want to thank the Army Corps of Engineers for doing a fantastic job on the wall. And that's a wall that is desperately needed. As we close the gaps in our physical framework, we must also close the gaps in our legal framework. Critical to ending the border crisis is removing all incentives for smuggling women and children. Current law, that's right. That's right. Women and children. People have no idea how bad it is unless you're there and unless you are a member of law enforcement. They see it every day and they can't believe what they see. Current law and federal court rulings encourage criminal organizations to smuggle children across the border. The tragic result is that 65% of all border crossers this year were either minors or adults traveling with minors. Our plan will change the law to stop the flood of child smuggling and to humanely reunite unaccompanied children with their families back home and rapidly, soon as possible. We must also restore the integrity of our broken asylum system. Our nation has a proud history of affording protection to those fleeing government persecutions. Unfortunately, legitimate asylum seekers are being displaced by those lodging frivolous claims. These are frivolous claims to gain admission into our country. Asylum abuse also strains our public school systems, our hospitals and local shelters, using funds that we should and that have to go to elderly veterans, at-risk youth, Americans in poverty, and those in genuine need of protection. We're using the funds that should be going to them, and that shouldn't happen. And it's not going to happen in a very short period of time. Have to get this approved. My plan expedites relief for legitimate asylum seekers by screening out the meritless claims. If you have a proper claim, you will quickly be admitted. If you don't, you will promptly be returned home. Crucially,
you're listening to President Trump address immigration law changes from the White House.
Our plan closes loopholes in federal law to make clear that gang members and criminals are inadmissible. These are some of the worst people anywhere in the world, MS-13 and others. Inadmissible, not coming in. We're taking them out all the time by the thousands a year, but they come in. They are no longer admissible. And for criminals already here, we will ensure their swift deportation. We will keep our community safe. Americans can have complete and total confidence that under this plan, the borders will finally be fully and totally secured. And I know a number of our Republican friends and others, Lindsay, I see you sitting right there, and Steve, You're working on a plan, an immediate plan, a smaller plan, but a very immediate plan to stop it as of this afternoon. So as fast as you can get something done. This is the big, beautiful, bold plan, but we need something very quickly, and if you can get it done, that would be fantastic. Okay? Thank you. Appreciate you working on it. A topic of less discussion in national media, but of vital importance to our country, is our legal immigration system itself. Our plan includes a sweeping modernization of our dysfunctional legal immigration process. It is totally dysfunctional. The system will finally be fair, transparent, and promote equality and opportunity for all. Every year, we admit 1.1 million immigrants as permanent legal residents. These green card holders get lifetime authorization to live and work here and a five-year path to American citizenship. This is the most prized citizenship anywhere in the world by far. Currently, 66% of legal immigrants come here on the basis of random chance. They're admitted solely because they have a relative in the United States, and it doesn't really matter who that relative is. Another 21% of immigrants are issued either by random lottery or because they're fortunate enough to be selected for humanitarian relief. Random selection is contrary to American values and blocks out many qualified potential immigrants from around the world who have much to contribute. While countless, and you wouldn't believe how many countries like Canada create a clear path for top talent, America does not. Under the senseless rules of the current system, we're not able to give preference to a doctor, a researcher, a student who graduated number one in his class from the finest colleges in the world. Anybody, we're not able to take care of it. We're not able to make those incredible breakthroughs. If somebody graduates top of their class from the best college, sorry, go back to your country. We want to keep them here. Companies are moving offices to other countries because our immigration rules prevent them from retaining highly skilled and even, if I might, totally brilliant people. We discriminate against genius. We discriminate against brilliance. We won't anymore once we get this passed, and we hope to get it passed as soon as possible. Some of the most skilled students at our world-class universities are going back home because they have no relatives to sponsor them here in the United States, and that's the only way. We want these exceptional students and workers to stay and flourish and thrive in America. Thank you. As a result of our broken rules, the annual green card flow is mostly low wage and low skilled. Newcomers compete for jobs against the most vulnerable Americans and put pressure on our social safety net and generous welfare programs. Only 12% of legal immigrants are selected based on skill or based on merit. In countries like Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, and others, that number is closer to 60 and even 70 and 75% in some cases. The biggest change we make is to increase the proportion of highly skilled immigration from 12% to 57%, and we'd like to even see if we can go higher. This will bring us in line with other countries and make us globally competitive. At the same time, we prioritize the immediate family of new Americans, spouses and children, the loved ones you choose to build a life with. We prioritize, and we have to do that. They go right to the front of the line, right to the front of the line where they should be. America's last major overhaul of our legal admissions policy was 54 years ago. Think of that. So a major update, and that's what this is, merit system and a heart system, is long overdue. The millions of legal immigrants who have come to America over the past half century are now cherished members of our national family. Going forward, it is their interest and in their interest and their children's interest to adopt a green card system that promotes a rising standard of living for all of our citizens. 3 in 4 new jobs at the end of last year went to Americans previously out of the workforce. Our economy is better probably than it ever has been in the history of our country. And because of that great economy, we're able to do things that nobody ever thought possible before. And that's what we're going to do for immigration, finally. Wages are rising, but our current immigration system works at cross purposes, placing downward pressure on wages for the working class, which is what we don't want to do. Last year, we also passed historic criminal justice reform. And we had tremendous backing, bipartisan, from Democrats, Republicans, conservatives, liberals. I guess we could also use the word progressives, a new word that's come about. Americans with criminal records are getting a second chance at life in higher numbers than ever before. Unfortunately, the current immigration rules allow foreign workers to substitute for Americans seeking entry-level jobs. So foreign workers are coming in and they're taking the jobs that would normally go to American workers. America's immigration system should bring in people who will expand opportunity for striving, low-income Americans, not to compete with those low-income Americans. Our proposal fulfills our sacred duty to those living here today while ensuring America remains a welcoming country to immigrants joining us tomorrow. And we want immigrants coming in. We cherish the open door that we want to create for our country. But a big proportion of those immigrants must come in through merit and skill. The White House plan makes no change to the number of green cards allocated each year, but instead of admitting people through random chance, we will establish simple, universal criteria for admission to the United States. No matter where in the world you're born, no matter who your relatives are, if you want to become an American citizen, it will be clear exactly what standard we ask you to achieve. It will be made crystal clear. This will increase the diversity of immigration flows into our country. We will replace the existing green card categories with a new visa, the Build America visa, which is what we all want to hear. Like Canada and so many other modern countries, we create an easy-to-navigate points-based selection system. You will get more points for being a younger worker, meaning you will contribute more to our social safety net. You will get more points for having a valuable skill, an offer of employment, an advanced education, or a plan to create jobs. We lose people that want to start companies, and in many cases, they're forced to leave our country, go back usually to the country where they came from, and they'll start up companies, and some of those companies are among the biggest and most successful companies today in the world. They could have started them right here in the United States, where they wanted to do it in the first place. Now they'll have a chance. Priority will also be given to higher wage workers, ensuring we never undercut American labor. To protect benefits for American citizens, immigrants must be financially self-sufficient. Finally, to promote integration, assimilation, and national unity, future immigrants will be required to learn English and to pass a civics exam prior to admission. Through these steps, we will deliver an immigration system that respects and even strengthens our culture, our traditions, and our values. 4 months ago, I had the honor of participating in a swearing-in ceremony for new Americans right here in the Oval Office. It was a beautiful reminder that American citizenship is the most precious gift our nation has to offer. When we swear in new citizens, we do more than give them a permit. We give them a history, a heritage, a home, and a future of limitless possibilities and potential. Our nation used to pride ourselves on this capacity, our unique ability to instill the spirit of America into any human heart, into any human being. Many of the Democrats have claimed to be for these concepts at different times.
All right. President talking about the immigration plans, his immigration plan. We'll see how this is digested by Republicans and Democrats as well. Talk about this more coming up tomorrow morning on Mobile Mornings. On the way next, Paul Feinbaum. I'll see y'all at 6 for Mobile Mornings. Have a great one. Remember, online, fmtalk1065.com. Also on Facebook, get details of our next great big contest, the Big Green Deal. Details and how to win on our Facebook page and website. Go check it out.